This show is brought to you by the Sydney Sleep Mattress by CreativePetSolutions.com, the best dog bed on the planet. Good for you, your pet, and the planet. Natural, orthopedic, veterinarian recommended. Special intro pricing available for a limited time.
Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
You know, when I hear that song, it's like the angels come from the heavens and just wake me up. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today is going to be talking about, the art of letting your day unfold. And the reason I'm going to talk about this is because my day wasn't supposed to unfold like this. I was supposed to have a guest and there was some conflict in the schedule. And so we had to work around it. But isn't that life anyway? So I decided early in the morning, well, okay, what am I going to talk to my people about? My dream big peeps. What can I talk about? Well, I think that this is a great thing. I think that we all live in such a world, and I could be speaking for all of us here, but you know, we try to, you know, organize our day. I know for me, I literally wake up and do a to-do list. And I've been trying to relax a little bit about that, but it's not always so good, especially when I feel scattered. So I will literally do a to-do list, which is loose, or sometimes literally minute by minute. 8:05, I'll take a shower. 8:30. Well, you know, and I know that life doesn't work that way, because at 8:30, the power could go out. You just don't know. So my podcast today is to talk about letting your day unfold. Just, you know, how we don't always have control over our surroundings and, you know, our everyday minute to minute schedule type of thing. So, but sometimes when you just let go and you go with the flow, it's amazing what can happen. And I'm going to give you an example. This weekend, I went away with my girlfriends. We have this thing called Chick Fest, and we pick all different places to go. And this just happened to be the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Now, I've been all over Michigan, but this was one place I had never been, and it was to see Pictured Rocks. Well, you have to understand, there's six women right there. It can give you stress. Six women who are very strong personalities, who basically control their lives very well and pretty much all have to-do lists every day, just like me. So we did have plans. We had plans to go kayaking, not a 2-hour casual. No, it was a 6-hour intense kayaking trip. And that was supposed to be on Saturday. Well, we woke up Saturday morning and you know what? It was pouring rain. You couldn't even see 5 feet in front of you. Well, according to the diehards in the Upper Peninsula, they don't cancel anything unless it's lightning and thunder. So you have to understand, when six of us strong women walk in a room, everybody knows we're there. None of us are shy. So we made a decision. I said, hey, we can't all go in overpowering these people. We just need one spokesperson. Well, they picked me. So I went in and I said, excuse me, sir, could we move this to Sunday? Well, we literally decided to move the entire kayaking trip to a Sunday where it was going to be 80 and sunny. Now that sounds a little more appealing than rainy and 65 and fog. So we did that. We decided then, what are we going to do with our day? So we went on what was supposed to be a 6-mile hike. Well, by the way, none of us are in major excellent condition, but we're like, okay, 6 miles, we can probably do that. It was pouring rain. It ended up being a 10-mile hike, but we had the most beautiful time. But what I noticed about me in this situation, and I noticed it happened with my friends too, is that we all kind of wanted control of what we were doing. We all wanted to make sure that we were safe. We all wanted to make sure we were going to have fun. We all wanted to make sure that you know, our decision was important as well. And we wanted to control the situation, basically. But when you're dealing with Mother Nature, you can't control the situation. Well, we went to this Castle Rock, and that's what was part of our hike. We went all the way to the top, and we expected, because we're city girls, we expected to find a castle. We didn't know when we got to the top, it was a tree. And we were kind of all like, oh, but it was so beautiful. It brought us so much joy. It quieted our hearts. We bonded at that moment, all of us together. We were so proud of ourselves that we did this incredibly strenuous hike for us in the rain, in the pouring rain, and just being there with each other. And that's my point. If we had, you know, freaked out about our schedule being adjusted and, you know, getting really upset and maybe not doing anything, instead, we just kind of went with the flow of things. We went where things opened, and we found an adventure wherever we went. And I think that's what's important in life, is that every day you wake up, like this morning, I woke up to find out I didn't have my guest. You have to go with the flow. So here I am with Nate, my wonderful engineer producer, and we've had a great time this morning, and it's going to be okay anyway. Everything works out. When you open yourself up and you know that you're safe, it's going to be okay. You just go with the thought that when there's something to be changed, there's a reason for it. And we don't always know why till the rest of the day unfolds. But if we limit ourselves and we try so hard to live within a schedule, to live within our to-do list, you're not leaving space for other opportunities in your life. You know, growing up, I always lived with a to-do list. That was just who I was. Letting go of the reins, what does that mean? Does it mean that you just let yourself spin out of control? Does it make you seem more irresponsible? No, it just loosen them up a little bit. You know, my whole life, I thought I had planned out. I was going to be a nurse. Since I was a little girl, I was going to be a nurse. And then I did nursing. I was a nurse's assistant for many, many years. My dad was a doctor, so I was a nurse's aide. I loved working with patients. I loved working with people. It made me so happy to just go in every day and see these patients and know that I could do something to help. So I had no other plan. No other backup plan. That was it. I was going to go to nursing school after high school. And I did summers with my dad in the nursing homes and worked with the patients. So my first year, I go to a very private school. There's only 300 students. I made sure there weren't that too many because I get so easily distracted. And I love people. So sometimes I'll go out and have a good time instead of studying. I wasn't the greatest student for sure. But I knew, I thought, that's okay. I want to be a nurse. So I know that I'm going to do great in this. Well, first year with chemistry, biology, anything science, it was all the classes I hated. I hated those classes. And I couldn't retain anything. Nothing stuck with me. The only thing I could remember was gluteus maximus, because that's what, you know what that means. So I realized I was in trouble. I decided to try to go back the second year. Well, that didn't work either. And all of a sudden, I had no reins to hold on to. I had nowhere to go. I didn't know what to do. My parents said, just come home. And I thought, oh my God, this was my lifelong dream. Well, my mom pulled out this thing, and it was this little piece of paper that I had filled out in second or third grade. And it said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, she pulled this up many, many years after I dropped out of school, actually. And it said that I wanted to be a nurse, a secretary, and a singer. Well, who even knew that was going to happen? But the bottom line is I dropped out of nursing school, was lost, simply lost, had no reins to hold on to, didn't know what I was going to do, and ended up sitting at a pub one night with my girlfriend, and someone asked me to get up and sing a song. Well, I realized I know I love to sing, so I did it. Well, and then that's where history leaves you. I ended up going from being a nurse to pursuing a singing career. And it was amazing. You know, you don't know if you're holding the reins so tight, if I would have continued to fight that nursing thing that wasn't working for me, that I didn't like the classes. I loved people. That was the bottom line. That was the nucleus. I loved people. And what I found is when I was singing, I was doing pretty much the same thing. I was making people feel better. I was taking care of them. I was helping them kind of forget their problems for a while. So my big joke was always, yes, I didn't become a nurse, but I kind of am doing the same thing. I'm helping people, but I don't have to empty the bedpans. And I thought that was a pretty good deal. So when you go out there, when you wake up in the morning, you know, yes, you can have a to-do list that can guide you. But also, you know, whether you believe in God or the universe, whatever you feel, where the energy comes from, you know, ask the universe, what is my purpose today? What am I supposed to see? What am I supposed to find out? You know, and then you go from there and see what you fall into. So one of the things that I've found in even struggling to figure out different things to challenge myself with, I love challenge. I do. And I don't quit. I'm not a quitter. You know, even though I was just talking about like quitting nursing school, it was a difference of, you know, do you quit something or do you just move away from something that maybe you had so much focus on and you didn't give yourself any room on either side of it? So that's where it comes to this radio show that I'm doing, Dream Big. You know, I pulled in the parking lot this morning and I thought, I remember way back, it was probably 5 years ago at the Detroit Music Awards. And I had met one of the producers from Specs Howard, and I remember saying to him, you know, someday I want to have a radio show and work with you guys. And I found that in my life, when I say those statements, I put them out there in the universe and eventually they come true. But once you get your feet wet into one of your visions, and sometimes you don't have the confidence. And when I started this radio show, I was a nervous wreck. I'm telling you, I was so nervous because I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never had a radio show. It looks easy. I'd been a guest on a million radio shows, and everyone that I was guest on, everyone's like, oh, you should do a radio show. So I'm like, oh, I got this. But you know, it was a different flow than music. It was a different flow of what I was used to. Very uncomfortable. So what I did at the beginning is I wrote out, I'd get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd write out my entire show, and I'd try and make it exactly right and put it exactly in the box that I thought it was supposed to be, and make sure that it was exactly what I thought you'd want to hear. And as I kept doing this, and it was getting a little looser and a little easier, and just as I was getting comfortable with this process of writing down everything I was going to talk to you about, I talked to the program manager and he said, okay, now I don't want you to write everything out. I want you to put it in bullet points. And I'm like, huh, what? You're changing my whole process. What am I going to do? You know, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. You know, and the fear came in, the insecurity came in. And yet, where was the person that sat at the Detroit Music Awards who said to the Specs Howard people, I want to work with you? So somewhere in each of us, we all have this little seed of belief. And then we let all the little fears get around us. Well, that's what I let happen to me a lot. Today, I didn't have a guest. I have to fly by the seat of my pants, which I usually love. I mean, you get me in a car, I'll drive anywhere. I'm geographically challenged and I don't fear the road. I just know that, well, one, I have a wonderful GPS, and two, it doesn't matter where I end up because I know sooner or later I'll figure out where I'm supposed to be. And if I just take that and put that into my life, in other words, I don't always know where I'm supposed to be. I think I have this wonderful plan, the perfect to-do list. You know, if I do A plus B, I'll get to C, but it doesn't always work that way, does it? No, it doesn't. We'll sit there and we'll plan and plan and plan, and next thing you know, we'll get hit with a curveball and we'll have to decide how we deal with that. So today, as I'm sitting here deciding how I'm going to lead you into believing that you can loosen the reins, you can work things out for yourself, we'll just flow with it. So for example, here I was supposed to have this wonderful tour, and I'd love to tell you exactly where it was, but I know it's supposed to be like considered Southern, this, that, and the other thing. This is seriously how geographically challenged I am. And I was supposed to go with the two guys in my band. I had it all set. It was a 10-day tour. It was going to be beautiful. It was in the fall. And one of my bandmates always does the driving because he's got great sense of direction and he never falls asleep at the wheel, which we all feel good about. Well, the other guy usually kind of sits in the back seat and falls asleep the minute he gets in there because he has five children and he never gets to sleep. So I always sit in the front as co-pilot. That's the best place for me to be. Well, we were supposed to go, and unfortunately, both my bandmates got their wives pregnant. So here I am thinking, okay, I've got all these shows. What am I going to do? Am I going to cancel them all because they can't come with me? Or am I going to just let go of the reins a little bit and realize you can do this? And I'm thinking, no, I can't. I can't do this. I can't even get out of my driveway and figure out which way to go to the grocery store. But I was like, you know what? You're going to do this. So I literally got in my car, 10 days. My husband made me take mace. He made me take some weird stick thing that you're supposed to be able to attack people with. Well, I mean, I can't even figure out how to open it, so that wasn't going to happen, but I brought it in the car anyway. And I went on the road. I packed up all my stuff, and I'm like, you're going to do this, Jill. And I have to say, I really enjoyed being by myself. So the first motel I got to, it was a little sketchy, but it was okay. It was on a, you know, musician salary. So I walked in. And it was kind of gross, but I'm just like, just pretend you're in a five star. But the beautiful thing about it was I looked in the bathroom and there was a little, you know, rubber duck in plastic, like for the bathtub. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. You're going to be my friend. So I named her Darla. Did you ever see that movie with Tom Hanks and the soccer ball? Okay. That was my, I took Darla everywhere on the road with me. I put her on my dashboard and I said, you and me, Darla, man, we're going to hit the road and we're going to hit it hard and we're going to have fun. And so I took her everywhere. We stopped off and looked at scenery. I took her into lunches with me and we just had a great time. People thought I was crazy because I was walking around with a duck, but I didn't care. And then I didn't get lost for the first four shows. I was so, so proud of myself. My husband would call me. He'd say, where are you? And I'm like, hold on a second. Let me check. I'm at mile marker 231. And he'd be like, what does that mean? I'm like, I have no idea. And he said, how can you live this way? How can you live just driving, not knowing where you are? I said, well, I know I'll get there. I just had faith I was going to get wherever I was as long as I listened to the GPS. So I did. Well, one of the motels I was supposed to stay at, I was running late for the show because traffic was really bad. And I followed the directions of the GPS. It brought me into some little subdivision that looked a little scary. And there was a girl sitting on a golf cart in the middle of the subdivision where there's like mobile homes and stuff. And she had a cigarette in her mouth. And I rolled down the window and I said, do you know where this motel is? And she said, after she took a puff of her cigarette, she's like, never heard of it. Well, now I know I'm in trouble because for the first time, I'm lost. And I only have an hour and a half before I have to get to a show. So I call the number on the motel and the guy answers and he is an Indian and he says, hello. And I said, hello, I can't find your motel. And he said, well, the address isn't right on the website. And I'm like, ugh. So finally he tells me where to go. I get them to the motel just in time to take a quick shower, grab my guitar, go do the show. The show was good. I got there on time and then I got back to my motel and I was pretty proud of myself because I made it. Well, as I'm sitting in the motel being all proud, I realized that I left my cell phone at the club and I'm like, oh no. I said, well, wait, maybe it's in the car. So I ran out and you know those, I had my car keys and I ran out. You know those motels that literally when you open the door, you're right back in a parking lot? Well, that's what it was. And I turned around to go back into my motel room and the door was locked. And I'm like, oh my God, I locked myself out of my motel. It's like 11:30 at night. I get in the car. I go back to the gig. They don't have my cell number. or my cell phone, excuse me. And I'm like, oh my God. So I ended up still having the number of the motel man, and I called him and he says, hello. And I'm like, remember the girl that couldn't find the motel in the first place? This is me again. And now I'm locked out of my motel room. And he's like, he was very, very kind. He let me back in and he kind of laughed, and I was not laughing. And I got back into my motel and I found my cell phone. It was sitting on the dresser the whole time. And I was like, really, God, what was that purpose? Why did I have to do that? So I literally sat on the couch crying in my motel room and thinking, what am I doing in the middle of the universe? Not even knowing technically where I am. I'm driving all over the place. My husband is right. I am crazy to be on the road, never knowing where I'm going. This is nuts. And I just cried my eyes out and I grabbed my guitar. And I ended up writing one of the most beautiful songs called Road Take Me Away. And the reason I believe that this all happened was that I wrote this song, and everybody can tell me I'm crazy, but as I wrote the song lyrics were talking about how much I loved to be on the road, how much I loved to be alone in nature, well, with Darla too, but I loved it, and it became a stronger person because of it. Every time you challenge yourself, every time you do something that makes you feel really, really uncomfortable, I mean, really uncomfortable, and you push through it, each time it gets easier. Each time you know and you remember from the last time what you felt like right before, what you felt like going through it, and what you felt like after. So when we were doing this walk in the UP, the Upper Peninsula, for those not in Michigan, all I remember is that I was fearful. I had girls who, you know, they power walk every day. Well, I don't necessarily do that because when I was in high school, I tore my cartilage. And from then on, I had knee problems. Up until last year, right after I got off crutches, I have this wonderful physical therapist who helped me get my knee back in order. But the whole time, you know, last year was rough. I fell and broke my hand, tore my rotator cuff, and blew out my knee. So I wasn't exactly feeling confident about going on a 10-mile hike in the rain, in the mud, in places that, you know, you could trip over rocks and sticks. And believe me, I did trip a few times. But bottom line is I was fearful. I had to do a self-talk the entire time saying, you're not going to fall. You're strong. You can do this. Don't think about the full 10 miles. Think about each step in front of you, and you can get through it. Keep your eyes open. You're a strong human being. And I honestly, if you would have asked me before, if I knew it was going to be a 10-mile hike, I wasn't going. There's no way, because I figured I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to fall. I'm going to do this. And if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have seen this beautiful wonder of Michigan that I didn't even know existed. Pictured rocks are gorgeous. This Castle Rock, Chapel Hill, all of it was gorgeous. I didn't get lost. I didn't fall. I found my way, and I found that I actually could walk 10 miles and get out of bed the next day without too much pain. But the pain I did have made me proud, because it was muscles that I hadn't used, and it was muscles that were screaming to say, let's do that again. You are a strong human being. Don't sit idle worrying about being hurt or being lost or tripping or falling. You know that you can do this now. So now, you know, just going through that, breaking through the barriers, of course it helped being with five strong women, you know, to be in the woods. And there were times where we were like, okay, are there going to be bears? We were all there to protect each other. As the rain came down, we would all get our jackets out and we'd help each other put them on. We had backpacks, we had water, we supplied ourselves with life's necessities. And we were there in strength in numbers. And when one of us, you know, tripped or somebody had a calf pull or something like that, we all were there for each other. But I think in each of our minds, we all had a little bit of a mental struggle going through this, especially the last 2 miles. It got real quiet. The beginning, we were all peppy, talking, having a great time. Towards the end, we were all using our mental strength to get through this beautiful walk. And when we did, we felt like we experienced something that had we not done it and just stayed in our motel room and watched the rain come down, yeah, we would have had a great time. We would play cards. We had a good time. But this is something that we overcame. This is something that we could say we did. And trust me, we're going to have bragging rights on this for the rest of our lives with our grandchildren and our great grandchildren. You know, when we're in our 50s and here we are, we're doing it. We're kicking butt. And it was a wonderful experience. So going through life, trying to be rigid with your to-do list, trying to not color outside of the lines, you know, can get kind of boring. So try and do it. Just challenge yourself a little bit every day. Open up a little bit of your schedule to see what the universe is planning for you. What surprises are out there for you that you didn't even know existed. And you never know. You could walk 10 miles in the woods, or you could take a 6-hour kayak trip and see the wonders of the beautiful nature that Mother Nature and God have provided. And just dream big, because if you don't limit yourself, your dreams will come true. Trust me. Thanks for listening.